We face a world whose divisions threaten the very notion of an international community upon which this institution stands. And this is happening at the very time when more than ever before, human beings throughout the world form a single society. So many of the challenges we face are global. They demand a response in which all peoples must play their part.
The UN General Assembly has opened in New York with a huge range of topics being laid on the table, but it's also the swan song for the UN leader.
Yeah, Kofi Annan, Adam, has painted kind of a dark picture of the future without a robust United Nations. He's leaving. He's been there 10 years, and there soon will be a new Secretary General, and it's anybody's guess right now who that will be. Kofi Annan was rather pessimistic, I would call it, about the future if he says there are not more, not just nation-to-nation contacts, but people-to-people contacts. There are so many internal topics they're going to have to deal with. For example, reform of the United Nations. There's a proposal to, several proposals actually, to reform the UN Security Council so that more nations are represented and have veto power other than the current five, which has been the case since the end of the Second World War and the founding of the United Nations. And then, of course, there are all the ancillary issues, world issues, everything from wars, disease, development, and these other issues, which a new leader of the United Nations is going to have to deal with.
One of the five is currently U.S. President George W. Bush. He seems to be eager to restart the Middle East roadmap and encourage moderate leaders to join in the effort.
Yeah, he was one of the first speakers, Adam, and of course he castigated Iran, warning them not to build a nuclear weapon. But one interesting part of the speech that was, I guess you could call it new, was that he called for restarting the roadmap to peace in the wake of the war in Lebanon and all the dissension in the Middle East, including his policies in Iraq.
I've directed Secretary of State Rice to lead a diplomatic effort to engage moderate leaders across the region to help the Palestinians reform their security services and support Israeli and Palestinian leaders in their efforts to come together to resolve their differences. Countries like Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Egypt have made clear they're willing to contribute the diplomatic and financial assistance necessary to help these efforts succeed.
At the same time, the quartet is meeting in New York, and also there's going to be an Arab ministers meeting that is sponsored, I should say, by the Arab nations, a ministers meeting to try to, again, get the Middle East peace going again. President Bush was very specific in what he wants to do, get middle-of-the-road Arab states to push the Palestinians and the Israelis back to talk.
Are these moderate nations currently endeavoring to do any of this?
Yes, there's a lot going on in New York with everybody there in this regard. The Arab foreign ministers and ambassadors and leaders are talking in their hotels and on the sidelines about trying to jumpstart the peace process. You know, there's going to be a meeting between Israeli Prime Minister Olmert and Palestinian leader Abbas, and the Middle Eastern leaders want to make sure that that happens.
Now, the Venezuelan president Hugo Chavez got a few laughs yesterday.
Well, he spoke, Adam, and did the typical Bush bashing, which has been going on from the president of Iran, from the Cuban foreign minister, from others. The Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez, called President Bush, quote, the devil.
The devil is right at home. The devil himself is right in the house. And the devil came here yesterday. Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here.
En este mismo lugar,
right here.
Huele a azufre todavía.
And it smells of sulfur still today.
Well, you know, the United States has been mum about all this. They're quite aware of the fact that Mr. Bush is the object of ridicule and scorn by many of these leaders. And in fact, Mr. Bush has been avoiding meeting Mr. Chavez, the president of Iran, and others in the hallways of the UN. You know, they go back and forth, their delegations, and oftentimes they bump into each other. But the president of the United States has been very careful not to run into any of the rogues gallery that he doesn't want to meet.
Isn't this what Kofi Annan was railing against in his opening speech? Aren't these leaders supposed to be communicating to each other?
Well, they're communicating all right, but they're not communicating in terribly friendly terms.
Outside of all of this mudslinging, the South African president, Thabo Mbeki, reminds everyone to not forget about Africa.
Yeah, and Kofi Annan made that essential in his speech as well, that that despite all the good intentions, the debt relief and debt initiatives put forward by the G8, and all these other things, AIDS, all the issues that affect Africa, that despite all of that, things are not seeming to get much better.
We need further, focused, and concrete programs to accelerate development in Africa and avoid the possibility of that continent sinking further into the morass of poverty and underdevelopment.
And returning to Washington now, the issue of surveillance is back on the agenda.
Yeah, the president's proposals to increase surveillance and eavesdropping, telephone surveillance, email, all the different forms of communication in order to stop terrorists from attacking the United States. The Republicans put forward legislation that the Democrats blasted as intrusive and violating the United States Constitution. Jane Harman, who is a Democrat of California and the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, held a news conference just a short while ago, and she was adamant in her opposition.
Today, the Republicans, the majority of the committee, rubber-stamped the White House's preferred bill to repeal major provisions of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. The result is that our committee, on a party-line vote, reported out a bill that allows for broad eavesdropping on Americans in violation of the Fourth Amendment and fails to include any new tools to conduct court-ordered surveillance on terror suspects.
Isn't this just legalizing something which is happening already?
Well, you know, the National Security Agency has been eavesdropping for years. This new legislation the White House wants basically does, as you say, give unimpeded access to all kinds of communication by government snoops looking for any kind of indication. If you write in an email, for example, Osama bin Laden, and just you're conversing with a friend about the situation, you could be put on a terror watch list.